Father, we thank you because we are here to receive of your word today. We know that your spirit will guide us into your revelation. We believe and receive faith for the wild stuff, clarity, your mighty hand. We see that as we listen, that our understanding will be enlightened. We'll walk into what you, O God, want us to walk into. And our hearts will be to your service. And at the end of this meeting, our lives will never remain the same again. Amen. Alright, we're looking at the gift and his giftings. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're looking at his gift and his giftings. Let me say this to you. You see, under this atmosphere, I know that your bodies will be tired. I know that somehow you would, for some people, not all of you, some of you are really excited about doing this, but for some people, they wish they never came. That's good. I wish too. You know, whilst men slept, I was sewing tars. So, you know, you need to celebrate your pastors. Many of you go to bed. Sometimes they are up, just trying to set things in order, and then they show up here for you. Alright? Why? Because it's training. When we're looking at strongholds together, we saw that one of the ways to overcome lust and hurtful desires is to strengthen your will against it. So maybe you don't like the way it's sounding. Sammy, that cost it. If it's not by the mic though, it's Sammy. Whatever Sammy did. Is it? He didn't get time to, come and do sound check. Come on, dude. Should you say he didn't get time to do sound check? Is this sound check making the speaker sound like that? So the sound check that's making the speaker sound like that, Tunji. Go and sit down. This is one that is doing Web 3. You can try. While I'm talking. Well, yeah, let's try now. What's that? Oh, do to me. Alright, thank you. I've done well. Very amazing guy. Smart. This Tupus Church General Sound Director. What are we going to call you? Uncle Sam. You need to call the technical people Uncle. Uncle Sam. We are getting old, by the way. This is when I should have been here. Birthday is coming, you know. Some people are getting nearer and closer. Other people are walking into the reality of what they desire. Some people like being old, so they are walking into the reality of it. I didn't mention anybody's name. I like being old. Some other people, they hate that they are aging, but they can't hide. There's no how you want to hide. You're going to get there. I'm not talking to you. I'm just looking at you. Somebody came yesterday, one of these miscreants, and said, I don't age. I don't get old face. I said, yes. You thought you would hide. You think you're in Cassiobe. Even in Cassiobe, his hiding has failed. Now he's looking like it. Glory, glory, glory. You know? Yeah, those people that have eternal face, we don't even know if they are going forward or backward. It's Miss Chain Chain, this one. He's an old man, though. Very old. Yeah. And this Decepticon. Masandra is not. We don't even know. We have Pharrell in this church. You see these people? Very, they deceive people. If you know how this girl is. It's bad relationships. When you are seen with bad people, you begin to look like things that, yes, bad relationships come out from them. If you stay around younger people, you look young. Don't stay around people that suck your youth. I'm not trying to tell you. You've been there. rubbish girl. And God will have mercy on you. Alright. So, where was I saying? Yeah. In an atmosphere like this, expect that your body will fight. You cannot say that you wake up and you want to do a prayer stretch. You are not watching film. There is nothing you are looking at that is exciting your flesh or engaging it. All you are looking at are other people just walking around. That is not very engaging. Alright? And then you are meant to do that for 12 hours. You know what 12 hours is? If you wake up by 6 a.m., 12 hours is 6 p.m. And you're going to do that for that long, just looking at people walking around. You know, in your house, you take a break, you sleep, you wake up, you drink garri. That's breakfast, you know. They now eat breakfast. For some of you, it's like Sam, what's that noodles you like eating? That one you like eating. Hungry man. Okay, no. Belle food. Glory to God. You know, there are people in this church that they can eat two castle high. Like Obin. Castle high. Eh? No, I'm not done. Obinna can devour. Who is the devour again? Pastor Sammy can consume. You, don't worry. You are looking like it. Kindness brother. My God. We have to give him the award. You know, Jesus is glorified. He's a bodybuilder. And he's using protein to build it. Jesus. And there are some people in this church, they just breathe chocolate. You know, like bro Sammy, you use two hungry man. Just, it's breakfast. Nothing. Three belly for two. Just nothing heavy, just start the day. See, don't let anybody give you bad. It's good to eat. I eat well. No man do that suffer from anorexia. Make you feel that you are. Let's go on, Jerry. So that's how your day goes. And then in the afternoon, by 12, that is. You do eba or her soup. Then by 4, that's not night food though, that's lunch. You launch yourself into, you know, just beans and bread, nothing heavy, just stroller and go to mama put. Then before 6 in between, you just buy biscuits, sosa, you know. Then by 8, you start cooking dinner to eat by 10. You know, 12 hours. But here, you are not eating anything. You are not sleeping. There's one black thing girl that's gingering you, saying, stand up, move. This, you are saying, I want to sleep. You say, never. That's the training. Before we go into our topic today, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 27. If I would start from verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. It's talking about natural things. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for mastery is tempted in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we want an incorruptible. And now says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Verse 27, let's read together, I want to go. I myself should be a castaway. What does it mean to be a castaway? It means you don't get the reward. It says, I put my body under. I'm saying this now. I'm not asking you guys who have medical issues to do stupid things. Okay, no. I'm simply saying that whether in sickness or in health, you have a window to put your body under. You know, if you are sick, right? You know you can stand up and go to the bathroom, right? You can use the toilet, okay? You can say to yourself, if I can go to the bathroom, I can pray in tongues for 20 minutes. That's you telling your body that you will not have dominion over me. So this string, don't fight it. And charity does, please, don't compromise on it. You are not doing them good. Are you know what I'm saying? You tell them, we're not going to drink water until this amount of time or this time. Is it bad to drink water? It's not. It's just simply saying we are putting your body under. And that's what this meeting is for. If you come here and live like you're leaving your house, why did you come? Why did you come? We're just going to do things like we're doing it. Why are you here? You are here to be trained. So allow the training to happen. Praise God. There is a meeting I take your pastors for. You can't be in that meeting and be uploading status. The only status people know about you is 7 days after. What is the difference between this and what you use in church? This thing, the gen. That's different. So they're going to know about you 7 days after. In fact, you'll be so exhausted you won't have time to chat people. I think it was yesterday. Some of your pastors were up till after 3 a.m. I slept by around 5:30. You don't have time to chat people. Give in to the training. Amen. It goes beyond prayer. It strengthens your will. You can tell your body no. Don't live here and think, oh, we are done. That means you took a break from the flesh. Then once you are done, you go back to the flesh. No, you keep on practicing it. What we are doing here for 5 days we are spending together is helping you conceptualize the possibility of telling your flesh no. People like Victor now cannot fathom just waking up in the morning and say, I want to fast by myself. That pastor is saying I should fast. But you did it here. So you can tell yourself, I'm not eating today. Now, will your body fight its food? Some of you say, I'm not eating today. 4 p.m., you know you can't take it again. Your body is beating you up. No problem, eat. Go again tomorrow. Let your body know that there's somebody who's going to get tired. Is it? I hear what I'm saying. Put your body under. It will help you. In the future, when you have a fine girlfriend and the other girls around that are coming to you, you have already trained your body to say no. Hallelujah. Right? You know they do it for... No, let me use the example. No. You can train your body. You can tell yourself, you know what? I'm going to fast meat. I'm going to eat meat for the next 1 month or so. Always put your body through exercises to let your body know it cannot rule you. The more you make your body know it can rule you, it will have dominion over you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's where those of you that can afford things now. If there's anybody who needs to put restraint, it's you. You can wake up and walk into a place and buy something that you used to crave as a younger person. Now you have the money. It's time to put restraint. I say simply because you crave it doesn't mean I will buy it. If not, you get into a lot of trouble. Look at what Paul says, 1 Timothy 6. You know, sometimes all this counsel used to sound like when your mother is advising you very early in the morning after morning devotion. You will not heed it. No problem. You know, the thing with life is that experiences will not happen. Then you will not say, they even said it to us. Or you will not, well, no. 1 Timothy chapter 6. End verse 9. Sammy, is there Jen in the hall? Jen, they here, Abby? Mini Jen. It sounds like cool room. Cool room. A cool room freezer. Or Genede. Look at this. Verse 9. But they that will be rich, the word will there is a Greek word bulomai, which means to have the desire, to to intend to be minded. So they that will be rich, they that intend to be rich, they that pursue wealth. Are you going to be good? Give me some juice on this one. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and what? Hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Look at the opposite of this. Look at what will save you. Verse 10. For the love of money is root of all evil, which are some coveted after. They have what? Erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sores. So it's not only Paul who, it's not only us who had members who say, oh, you know what, I can't do this ministry thing. I have a family to meet. I have to make money and things like that. And they leave the faith and go and make money. It's not, it happened in Paul's time. But the consequence of that is that there will be many foolish and hurtful lusts that will follow it. Now watch this. Look at the solution to it. Verse 6. Godliness is what? Contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and what? Raiment. Let us be what? Is Paul saying don't be rich? No, that's not what he's saying. In fact, he even gives counsel to those who are rich. Look at verse 17. See the counsel he gives to them who are rich. Hallelujah. I know it doesn't do anything, but I just feel like doing it. If one off, the other one on. What's my... what he praised me for. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not what? High-minded. Now, what does it mean to be high-minded? Right? It means to have a lofty mind, to be arrogant. Let me see. Let's have a class session here. Can you describe arrogance? I'm saying in behavior and character. Where's Cassie? Come and describe for me. I knew you were there. Come. What do you think arrogance would be? Sammy, follow her. Arrogance, come and describe it for me. Hurry up. You are not on what is the Victoria's Secret runway. Have you ever called Cassie to come to you? If she doesn't catwalk, she's not coming. She must. I have a video then, many years ago, when she was in 200 level or so. Then this one was her direct pastor. They were walking on the road. As she was filming her, I said, Pastor Ify, then P.Ify. Say, walk with grace, panache. Okay, walk with grace. And this one was catwalking on the road. But I called you and you choked on the water, right? I'm so sorry. What do you think arrogance is? Let me hear. I really need to hear from different worldviews. What do you think arrogance is? Mike.
I think it's pride on another level.
Let's look at an example. Can you conceptualize what arrogance is? Give us an example of arrogance at work. Sammy, are you taking dictionary?
I think yes. The image that's coming to my mind is someone who.
Can you hear? Even with the mic.
I think the.
Talk with mic now. See.
The example that is coming to my mind is someone who probably doesn't have, let's say someone who is kind of broke, but then they're trying to like dress in a certain way, match up in a certain way, and they're trying to like correct them, and because they see themselves in a certain way, they don't want to like take corrections.
Okay, yeah. So she says someone who dresses in a certain way. They're trying to look. Let me use the word bougie, and then you now tell them no, you know this is not, and then they feel insulted. That's what she said. Let's hear your. Thank you, Pastor Cassie. I'm still going to call up some other people. Or you help me pass the mic quickly. Arrogance. Let's look at examples. Let's see what your own concept of arrogance is and how you think of it. I'm listening quickly. I'm sure you've met arrogant people before. I'm sure you've used that language before. I didn't say you use it often. So you can conceptualize what it means. Fine, pass the mic. Give it to your yeah. No, worries, sit.
Okay, sir. So I would say that arrogance is when a person, I can't say an animal, but a person has an overinflated sense of self. So when a person begins to belittle the value, or doesn't see the value in others, or overinflates their own value over another person, and then begins to sound in a certain way. I can also see arrogance as a person whose results does not match what they are saying.
Even that, you know, that's what I was even coming to. The apostle uses rich people. Their results match what they are saying. They are rich. And he says they should not be high-minded, and use the word arrogant. So it could be that, and it could not be that at the same time. It would just be this fact that someone just has an over bloated sense of self. Because look at how you started from. Since we came into this world with nothing, we will go out with nothing. That's simple. That just gives us a bar on how to think of ourselves, right? Okay, let's look for another example in scripture. Arrogant person. I want us to be able to conceptualize arrogance. Are you passing the mic?
The arrogant person that comes to my mind is the this Nabal guy.
The fool, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then also the foolish rich man.
That's the guy that came to mind, the rich fool. Who walked and then said, my hands have built all these things and now I'll sit to enjoy it. And God says, I will demand your soul. And you now see that all the things you have built is not yours. Can we add an overacting sense of control where you think you are in charge so much so that you forget that you're human? Let's build on this one. Pass the mic. Give it to somebody else as it really leads you. We don't have time. You don't have to be smiling with him all that time. Just say it. We know you are smart. Say it.
I don't know what you want me to expect.
We came from here, Abi. Bloated sense of self.
Yes, sir.
We have come to here. I've added one. When you think you control everything, but you really don't control anything. You just have this super awareness in your mind that you are in control. You're not in control of anything. That could be arrogant, very arrogant. Because we look at the rich guy, that rich fool. I thought he was in control. That's the problem. Humans and control. Control is so fleeting. But build, and we are listening. What's your own conceptualization of arrogance? Is there any biblical example? I'm looking for a real life example. So people, because when you say to somebody, you are arrogant, right? The person can interpret it as, I don't just like to be talked down on. The person can interpret it as, I know how to live a good life. The person can interpret it as, you don't know how long I've suffered. And now I've made money. And you are telling me. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So let's give natural examples, concepts, examples we can relate with of arrogance. It can be Bible stories. Fine.
Okay, sir. I think I can use Saul in the Bible. At some point, I mean, Saul was the normal guy, probably humble. But at some point, he became so full of himself. The overt focus to show people that he can do something, even disobeying his pastor self, Samuel, he was also arrogant. I think that's some like example of arrogance.
Okay, Sammy, pass the mic. This time, have some sense. Don't go to pastors. we are in a class. Promise is there. Tomisin is there. Temu is there. Deborah is there. Stanley is there. Eh? Why are you comparing her? That little boy is raising his hand. Are you seeing? Courage is right where you are. I'm talking about the admins now. This one is vitamins.
All right, praise God. All right, so, Pastor,
don't look at me like that. I'm going to look at that. It's like you're sending me signal from where you are. Say, praise God.
Praise God.
I'm listening to you.
So, Pastor, one of the examples that comes to my mind is Cain.
Cain?
Yes.
How is Cain arrogant?
He was corrected for something he did.
Mm.
Rather than focus on the fact that he did something wrong, he was simply focused on the fact that God was telling him about he is now a fugitive and a vagabond.
Would that be it, or would Cain believe he's better than Abel?
Yes, he believed he was better than Abel.
And then when God rebuked him about that, he felt I don't deserve exactly. Like a homie.
Yes, sir.
Right? I think that's the point I'm trying to make. All right, thank you. That's good. Give Joseph. If we had him and Stan, if we had visual, like we had a big TV here, and we asked them to draw, they would draw you the story of an arrogant person.
All right, praise God. So, an example of an arrogant person that comes to mind in scriptures. Sorry, my voice is gone.
And my voice is here. When your voice cracks, you gain lower octaves.
An arrogant person would be Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, when he thought that because his kingdom was successful, he could equate himself with God. I think it matches your idea of control also.
Yeah.
Because he controlled a lot of things that happened on the earth. So he believed that everything was in his control. So I think that's arrogant. I think in the natural context, like in our world, maybe an arrogant person would also be someone...
The landlord.
I think someone that feels is untouchable, that's... Let's look at
other symptoms of arrogance. There are things that manifest that you can look at and say, okay, this person is very arrogant. Symptoms. So thank you for where you've gotten us to. Let's look at symptoms. Pass the mic. Let's come to Sandra. Symptoms. Like, what are the symptoms you see in a person and say, arrogance? They give orders, Abby.
I think one symptom that comes to mind is speech. The way they talk, especially toward other people.
Other people. I was okay. Pass the mic. Let's see another one. Who wants to go? Chinaza. Okay, rejoice.
One symptom could be that feeling of you can't do anything to me.
Yeah, that's quite arrogant. Nazan says. Feeling of love and romance.
So, I think also be the inability to receive help. Like, you know you need help, but you want to prove a point.
That's very profound. You know, arrogance, the symptoms, you can look at it, and arrogance has certain contexts. Okay? Arrogance is a broad thing, has certain context. Another one for that is pride. If you're looking for another word. Thank you. What about entitlement? A sense of entitlement. Have you seen people who believe that it's their right for you to do something that is just mercy or grace? Have you heard the way they talk? Like, I employ you. And you are saying things like, I don't even need this job. I'm just here because. Have you seen some doubts who stop you on the road to beg you for money? Like they gave you the money to hold for them. If you say no, they can stone you something. That's arrogant. Alright, hallelujah. And I went through this because arrogance is not a personality thing. It's a human being thing. Every one of us here can be. That's what I'm trying to say. So when we talk about arrogance, don't think, ah, there's somebody that is arrogant. You are not. Anybody can. You can express arrogance. You can. You can. There are sometimes your leaders will say something to you. In that moment, you can be arrogant. And say, who do they think they are? There's someone who made a comment like that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, he said he was going to correct statement. Someone made a comment like that. She said, if not for church, this small boy will not be talking to me like that. That's someone who, you know, that God put his spirit upon. That's someone with the anointing that you called a small boy. God didn't think the person as a small boy. You thought the person as, you belittled what God exalted. Hallelujah. It's quite arrogant. I remember one time we were in camp and we're praying. And the leader of the group had gone and handed over to his assistant. So this assistant was way younger than I am. In fact, she is a member of the local church, not a pastor, but she's a member. And she's quite young. And you know, we're praying, and you know, some assistants can be extra. You know, the main guy is not there. The assistant wants to show the others that they too, they have, you know, capacity. Anyways, so she was just dragging me up and down, and it was terrible. First, I call it the ball of fire. I don't like to enter the ball of fire. I'm already tired. You want to put me inside that. People haven't brushed for over 18 to 19 hours, right? You know, and so that's pretty arrogant though. It's not a good example, but I'll tell you. So she said, you're not praying. And I responded, I'm praying. And what made me respond like that was because I felt she had no right to talk to me like that. She has not known the amount of labors I've done. I'm not a person you can tell is prayerless. Why would you say I'm not praying? Many of you act like that. Many of you act like that. So, all of us can be arrogant. All of us. Let me stroke somebody. I remember sometimes I'll just call him. He's very close to me. And I'll say, do you do this? His face will just change. And I see it. And the face changes like, it's me now. I'm as a way of testing nonsense. I just used to track him. When he does those things, I just watch him. He will go and fall yakata and do exactly those things he was doing to his learners. We can all be arrogant. So watch it. Amen. Amen. Alright, let's bring it back to the rich man's context. So, to be high-minded means to be arrogant. It means that you're thinking of yourself as God, as eternal, as someone who's not going to die one day and leave all your properties behind. When you do, you will not know if your children will be the one to run it down or run it up. The best you can do for Tupu's church is leave it in the hands of God. In Acts chapter 20 and 32, it says, and now I commend you to God and to word of his grace, which is able to keep you. It's meant to, he can keep you. Can build you up. Hallelujah. Exactly. So, it's very important you know that. Please, not trust in uncertain riches. In fact, you can't be doing crypto and be proud. It's right there. Trust not in crypto, uncertain riches. Even stock market. You can even use Stockfish to know about the stock market. You use that. See how Stockfish is fluctuating. Today, good, the Stockfish can be cheap. Tomorrow is very expensive. They showed me, say, this is flesh, 5,000. I say, flesh of who? Who flesh? He said, the head this. Then the other part is this. I say, what kind of nonsense? Just leave the whole fish together. Uncertain riches. He says, but trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to what? And verse 18. That they do good. That they be rich in what? Good works. Ready to what? Distribute. Willing to communicate. That's about the rich guy. Because there's a tendency for you as a rich person to think that you need to accumulate. And you know, we said many years ago, and I think it's still valid. You cannot be a believer and be amongst the richest men in the world. Because for you to be that, you have to accumulate wealth. The believer is not taught to accumulate wealth. He's taught to distribute it. While you are saving for rainy days, also know that you are a channel. Any tap that says you don't flow, the water will get stale. Are you hear what I'm saying? So, this becomes the remedy of it. It's not like Paul is not saying be rich. He's saying, see, there are desires and lusts that will come with it. You must be careful. So because you can afford it doesn't mean you have to. Doesn't mean you have to at all. It must ring in, it must be a consciousness you have. Because I can afford it doesn't mean I will. And sometimes you just give yourself brain. It's a good evaluation. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's a very, very good evaluation. Just say to yourself, okay, as a pastor, if I go and buy a Birkin bag, think with me, and I have disciples who cannot boast of 50,000 naira salary, what pressure am I putting them under? I have to warn one of you. Once the brother, in that period, purchase something and put it on the salary, say, take this thing down. That you can afford it doesn't mean you have to. Number two doesn't mean you have to even show it. Imagine you are in the church, you walk into the church with a gold chain or a diamond chain that you know in the world and in our generation they call ice. You would automatically put your disciples under pressure because you have set a bar. So because of them, you just don't do it. Hallelujah. Because your disciples want to be like you. They see pastor enter bike. Okay, so that's possible. I didn't know pastor has money, but he's entering bike. There are things you intentionally don't do. You have the money, you put it in church. And they are watching you. You have the money, they watch you take it and help families. Rather than buying the latest things. Let me say this. Don't use suffering as context for greed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't use suffering as what? Don't say things like, I suffered. It's time to end. Don't use it as context for the flesh. Say, I suffered. Do you know how long I've been trekking? It's not justification for greed or the flesh. It's not. And it will not be. You know how much a breaking bag is? You just come to church with breaking bag. Promise. What is promise salary? Let's just hope promise don't know what breaking bag is. The brother is in Ogun State. Sun is under the sun or in the rain with frustration and what? Helplessness. I hate that anthem. I want to go and do NYC. Carry you. So if you force about rubbish, how many of you have done NYC in the house? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. What do you advise others? I said, you don't do work. I only went to class four times in 1 year. God helped me. COVID. I served in COVID time. So we were at home. The children liked me anyways. I'm saying my first 2 days in class, they've already sent me love letter. I anticipated it. I knew to come. I was waiting for it. If they don't send me love letter, I would have been angry. Ah, why now? Come on. Don't send me love letter. What is that? Send me love letter so I know I'll start pushing for you. I look for a door of utterance. I start to get down. Trust me. I said, that's not your future. Pastor, I know she was not hearing me. You know? Came to class, made a video, posted, they were happy, you know, some of you saw the video. I'd have been that fun teacher. Because what one thing I was asking is, Lord, how do I get respect? You know when you teach secondary school students? If you like, be as tall as you go tree. They will insult you. If like you want to beat them, those people that have chopped in all their life. You beat them, they'll just get used to it. Hallelujah. Say NY. You'll be putting, trusting yourself to all sorts of nightmares and sleepless nights. Say, I can't get a job. I can't. You open company. Open company. Employ people that went for NYC. Sing the song for them. Under the sun or in the rain. I don't know what they sang there. It sounds like we molestation or something. I don't know what they say. Nigeria as Nigeria we sir. It was in my NYC that I knew you could sing national anthem as praise and worship. In my NYC. Arise, O compassion. Praise and worship.
You know they've changed it. I don't know how they use that second one. No, the second one is even sweeter. No, it was the old one. It's not like they changed it. They just brought back the old one. Tinubu just likes living in nostalgia. So imagine Ire brings a Birkin bag and Deborah in Ogun State. Son is wiping her score. And she has gone on Instagram to see that thing is like $3,000. And this one is coming to teach us contentment. Come on, shut up. Or Achoko comes with the latest boots. It's teaching us contentment. Give. And they are watching you. That money you used to buy this thing of $700 you would have given it to church. People are not stupid. They are watching. I should be content. You know, say like me now. Yeah, and they are looking at you. What do you mean like me now? As a pastor, be intelligent. Let your lifestyle change as your church grows. So if you want to flex, get your church to grow fast. So you can flex. Let your lifestyle change as your what? Your church grows. You are a servant. You must think of yourself that way. That you must be abased for their sake. For their sake. The money is in your account breathing. You won't buy it. Temu, I'm ordering. Go. Hallelujah. All your members are saying, face me, I face you. You are staying in palace. What is the difference between you and a politician? Say, now I worked hard for my money. That's what politicians are saying too. So don't be high-minded. Amen? Don't be high-minded. Don't. It says, be rich unto good work. Communicate. Be rich unto good works. Communicate. Get your guys to come up to where you are in mentality and their outlook to life. Don't be the old one now. Don't be the richest. I don't even like that concept. I don't like it. I'd never enjoy it. Because I know the consequence of that. You'll be the only one under pressure. Unnecessary pressure. If you're the richest amongst your people. That's everyone will come to you. Nobody will even bother ask if you have eaten. They don't care. They just believe you are the richest. I know what I'm talking about. You just need the house. Everybody's, they are hungry. Nobody's thinking about their own bank. Whose door they are going to knock on? Pastor. Why? Ehenna, you are pastor. That's what they tell me. Ehenna, you are pastor. No. We are all pastors. All pastors. So you get to get jobs. Say, go and get a job. Teach them to manage their finances like you are doing. Teach them to be rich unto good works by example. Let them see it. Christmas Day, take some money. Do something for others beyond yourself. Well, are you not fat enough? I'm not talking to you. There's a brother in this church. Many years ago, he didn't have buttocks. Now, buttocks is coming outside. You know why? Chopping money. Chopping money. The person I'm talking to knows himself. It's not bad. You know, you might not even have so much money. You just tell your guys to come around. It's something you don't even do it. But come on, let's bake together. It's Christmas. Let's just buy flour and bake something. Even if it's guilty cake, we chop them together. You go. 4,500 is one case of biggie, the small one. You buy it. Everybody gather together. Or you buy chicken, live chicken, just one. Don't do too much. One. You say, come, let's kill it. You and your seven disciples, you kill the chicken. You know, it's Christmas. See, yeah? What I'm saying in essence is this. Be rich unto good works. And emphasis I'm making towards the end of the year, and I'll keep on making it till we get there. Where I said to the pastors, we're going to have something called the Charity Kitchen. Where in all our branches, food will be cooked daily, morning and evening, breakfast and dinner, for those who can't eat or don't have enough to feed. Daily. No, you get the food by yourself. Don't just think you just wake up and just say, I'm hungry and go there. and we give each cell the responsibility to reach out. I'm saying that Tupu Church cannot be in a community and not reach out to the community. So in 2025, we should have those kind of things. Small CSR, not too much. We get and share it in the community. It's not bad. The church ought to do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you are rich or the richest in the church, it simply means you have more responsibility. It's not time to flex. Let me not wake up one morning, you have G-Wagon. I say, ah, bro, Festus. G-Wagon. He says, it's just a little thing. Just a little. But bro, knee is trekking like a nomad. You didn't even buy him bike. Or Corolla. Muscle. Eh? Brony. He's trekking. Sister Temu. Bike men have collected our money finish. You buy G-Wagon. That thing, does he use the... Which kind of fuel does he use? You know, there are certain cars that have some specific kinds of petrol they use. So that means you don't bank with the regulars. Your own filling station is specialized. Well, you serve a God that told you rich food. Tonight I require your soul. Let them not require something of you. Hallelujah. You don't have so much money, just go to the market. Rather than chicken, buy fish, fry it, cook your concoction jollof rice. Call your friends, your disciples, come around. Let's spend Christmas together. I cooked food. I hear what I'm saying. Have audacious giving budgets in 2025. If you make more money than others, you must give more than others. There must be no one who rivals you in giving if you make more money than others. And as one that is not making as much as you, give more than you. And you are beating your hand on your chest and you are a believer. And he's going to give us business money. Oh. Keep your business money where it is. Paul says, if you have food and raiment, there will be content. Hallelujah. You know, you stroll through Instagram, you are seeing cloth. The shoe is 50,000. The earring is 75,000. The wristwatch is 105,000. The necklace is about 203,000. The socks is 15,000. One leg, the lipstick. When you put all to when you add to cart, when you add to cart, you are already doing about 780,000 to 900,000. You know, now you just wish, you just look at it and wish and dream. A time in your life will come where that will be changed. You didn't hear me? That's not the time to go and buy that. Let me give you a hack. Pastors, are you hearing what I'm saying? Let it be that it's your disciples that buy those things for you. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Let it be that it's what? Your disciples that buy those things for you. Say, so Pastor in UK, where would you find? Say, in Louis Vuitton shop. What is he doing there? Is he going to preach? Preach to the cashier. You will not show me, you will not snap and show me coats. That coat will burn. Now say, Pastor, I just got to say, you don't buy coats. I touch it. Ha! It don't look like one Malam. So, this is not the Malam kind of coat. I see the brand Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton. Pastor. Is our weather that cold? He said, I just got something where I went to the UK. In it. UK. That. No, off it, go and sell it, bring the money. I'm saying that people were building things for the Lord and sold their costly gadgets to go and fund it. You are sitting down feeling comfortable. You have chandelier over your head. See ya. If I don't train you this way, I will deceive you. You will now be growing and be asking a question why your members are greedy. You let them on that path. You now be asking why they don't give. You let them on that path. They are trying to hoard the money to match up to your lifestyle. You think they don't like the kind of life you are living? They are seeing it. They like the kind of life you are living. You are the template. So they don't know how to start from where people are starting from. For the sake of them, for their sake. We're going to ground zero often. We're going there often. You say, ah, Pastor, where's your TV? I sold it. Say, why? I just felt led to. Ah, Pastor, where's your car? I sold it. Why? I just felt led to. And they know you have money if you want to buy a train, light train, you know, train. If you want to buy train and rail the whole place, all the places you go from your office to, you can do it. They know the car, and this I'm saying is a physical example. Pastor makes profits in billions of naira. Pastor Naika makes profits in billions of naira. There's every chance that the bottle water you are drinking was what the plastic was designed by his organization. Yes. They are the ones who also do the plastic for Big. He's into construction of roads. He's into mining of natural resources. He's into agriculture. He's into law. He's into investment. He makes profits in billions. He doesn't have a car. This is over how many years now? Close to how many years? 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Till now. They buy him car every birthday. He sells it. But they keep on buying. I even thought there's a car you used to drive every time that it was his own. Pastor Stanley says, no, it's not his own. That is his disciple's own. They pick him up. Pastor Tunde said one reason he has not sold his own car is because Pastor doesn't have one. So he goes to drive Pastor to church and back. The man is so rich that you don't know when he's out of the country and back. I didn't say Ibadan, UK, England. He goes there and comes back. His kids are there. You don't even know. He has gone and come back. But if you go to his local church, you will not find greedy people there. You know why? The standard is at ground zero. He's a normal, the man can walk the streets normally, go to market, come back. You, nobody's chasing him or say, oh, trust me. Is he influence? He has influence. Walks the street normally, you can see him on the road. It's his boys that heard that he was entering Uber and said, no, sir. Let it be your disciples that say it to you. Are you know what I'm saying? Many of the things Jesus Christ got for himself. Of course, he had money. They were giving. You shouldn't deny that. Jesus had some support from people. That's what I'm trying to say. Alright? He himself wasn't wealthy. But people gave to him. And if you look at the caliber of people that gave to his ministry, you know they weren't small women. Big women gave to his ministry. Notice that also big men. And you will notice that it is his disciples who go to get those things. For the first time, he rode a donkey. Donkeys for the rich guys. So it's like a Cadillac or something like that. He rode a donkey in Jerusalem and they were putting, that was prophecy. After that, you didn't see him riding a donkey again. He will be with them in their fisherman boat. You should go and stay in fisherman boat and see how it smells. If Jesus wanted to get a sheep, he would get. Hallelujah. But Peter don't have money. If Jesus buys sheep, that's, you know, that kingdom that they're asking, where will he come? That's the kingdom they will see, you know, sheep. Immediately resurrects from the dead. That money for widows, they will use and buy sheep. Buy big sheep like this. Jam the sheep of the scribes and the Pharisees. No, if they're just part, you just jam it. Because your own is bigger. Hallelujah. No. Let be training yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have the money to fly. You say, no, I'm entering bus because my guys are entering it. It's very important. Let them be the ones say, no, Pastor, don't join us. Fly. That's better. In that case, they can see that this man has sacrificed all, and they are saying, no, sir, we honor your sacrifice. Fly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be the one who always runs. We are not in the airport. You do TikTok. Say, airpiece. I'm coming out for airpiece. They delay my luggage. Your disciple, Victor, that is earning maybe 200K. Flight is 150. Victor will do your He will do Yahoo to look for extra flight money. I don't know the Victor I'm talking about. Maybe Victor Noodles or Victor Byro. I don't know. Hallelujah. Ground zero. I hear what I'm saying. Ground zero. See, by God's grace, there are a couple of things I can afford. A couple. My money holder used to ginger me. I can afford a couple of things. Sometimes he says, ah, no, don't do that. The money is going to church and people. I'm not there yet. A man is not as strong as his own bank. He's as strong as the cumulative account of his loyalties, of his boys. That's if all of us come out like this now. That strength. It's not the one that you come out, your boys come out, they're all shaking like this. You are the only one standing. No. You are weak. Because if there's an attack, you're in trouble. Are you hear what I'm saying? If something happens to you tomorrow and all your words is, nobody can hold you up. Rather than building them, you weakened them with the excuse that I've suffered this time to enjoy. Let me even add this. You are too young to be even saying that. Are you hear what I'm saying? You are too young. I'm saying even if you are 30, you are too young. It's not time to enjoy. You know, 40 years old, you are still too young. No. Pastor someone for 15 years, then say that. Build a person from zero to substantial. 15 years, then say that. There's one of my disciples that was talking to me about his former local church. And the kind of stuff they do there. Talking about the kind of wealth that is in the church, you hardly know. He said the church is like a family. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody is sponsoring the child of everybody. You can't be a child in that local church and you say you don't have money for school fees. It's not heard of. But you hardly know. I'm saying people in that local church, they are at the creme de la creme of society. You will not know. And they started... I said that they were meeting in a classroom when they started church. Now, most of the people they raise are the top places in society. And you hardly know. I'm saying, if the way they even dress, you will not know these guys have so much money. They can buy... Oh, Jesus. Money is in this world, though. What these people can buy... You know, flight ticket. Now, if you are going to fly, maybe first class or business class on Emirates or Qatar, you have to have above 10 million for just one trip. Someone said, I miss my friend. And I went to see the person. That's not enough reason to spend 20 something million naira. I miss somebody. Say, I wanted to surprise you on your birthday. 20 something million. Send me the money now. I will value your surprise. Hallelujah. You know, don't set your people greedy like this. Don't do it. It's a trap. Don't do it. By the time you set them greedy that way, you regret it. There's a difference between trying to train people to think beyond where they are, stretching their mind to see possibilities. In that training, they must see that you are humble and you are giving to sacrifice. They must see it. That you are lowly. That you are not in a hurry to show wealth. They must see those things. They must see that you can let go of natural things. Some of you have a death-like grip on natural things. You appear like you don't, but you do. If it gets missing now, you get dirty. Your ambition for let me use the word gadgets. Some of you have ambition for gadgets. How do you have an ambition for that? Gadgets. That's all that you are dreaming of buying. So that your screen will be like a amphitheater. You just wide like this. Your chair will now roll. The table go up and down. They say, I give you trust. No, I don't have money. That's all you are seeing. That thing. So when you now buy it, you will now say your disciples will not come to your house again, Abi. That Sammy will just come and see it. That's his new target too. You say, Sammy, I'm not giving partnership. You say, sir, since I had, it's not receiving money. 2 months later, you see him, he has bought his own. Post, I say, I'm my father's son. Of course. Hallelujah. You are young in ministry. You just started. You are not even 2 months old. Your suit is not in this world. Ah, I appreciate Ikorodu. To Ikorodu youth. That mommy and daddy is struggling to eat. You will spend, you didn't get money. you will spend money, eh? Hallelujah. So allow training to beat your flesh to shape. Allow training. See, guys, just do your flesh disservice. Do it. Just wake up and say, you know what? I'm not going to do my hair. There's a rule that already working in that. But I'm saying, just say, I'm not doing my hair. Some of you don't know how to live a life without the external validation of others. You don't know how to live a life like that, where people haven't told you you are beautiful. I don't think you are preparing for the real world, though. Because in the real world, people say all sorts of nasty things. And it can even be unfortunate that you marry somebody and the person says those things to you. Live a life where you can do without the validation of others. The most important remark you get is from the Lord. A sister who believes the gospel of Christ says she doesn't wear earrings. We ask her why. Says she just, it's a consecration with her and the Lord. Just doesn't wear earrings. Are you hear what I'm saying? Just say to yourself, I'm not going to buy that. I'm just not going to buy it. Say, but pastor, I'm not buying. Your mind is going to tell you, you know, some of you, you sit and give yourself, like, believers, when I don't give yourself all those excuses, the consequence is still there. You sit and give yourself, say, you know what, pastor, you don't understand. I say, okay, I'm listening to you. Say, it makes me, you know, if I have this right now, you know, I can, you know, move mountains. I can surmount obstacles. I say, okay, no problem. Buy it 3 months later. That mountain is still there. In fact, you added an extra hill. Don't give excuses like that. What I'm saying is ensure that you are not high-minded. Ensure you are not arrogant. Ensure there's no greed. Ensure you are not also inspiring to others. Pastor Stanley was telling me something about a young preacher like us. He said, see, pity, this man may have genuine reasons why he's flaunting his wealth online. Or, I was explaining, I said, no, this guy was born rich. What you call flaunting is his normal lifestyle. He said, see, pity, I understand. But as a minister, you must think of the consequence of what you are doing on others. You must always think that way. That, okay, how many of your followers were born rich? They won't think that you are doing it because you are rich or you are born rich. They will think that this is how ministry is done. I have one of his followers on my distance. The guy talks too much and it's all about lifestyle. All about that. Don't put your members in that kind of trap. Don't do it. Always be thinking of the consequence. If I post this thing now and Victor should see it, what will Victor do? Not this Victor. This Victor. Victor, you came late. came 7 days after Jesus had resurrected and gone to heaven. Eh? All the other sessions. You know now, you know when I'm entering into the teaching side of Recalibrate, all the fire, we get some. Amen. So, what, imagine, let's think like this. You have a younger sister, she's in her teenage. One of the things with puberty is that you become conscious about what you wear and your body, right? And she's growing stuff, okay? And you are the elder star and you are posting it. Cleavage. No. She would naturally just see that as a template. That's all. You are saying, I can handle myself. That's, you can handle yourself. Can she handle herself? Don't ruin someone else's life because of your appetite. Let me close with this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You must think this way all the time. And this also spreads to those of you that like to do public display of Ashao PDA. I know it says affection, it's prostitution you are doing. You will be online, you are just showing us pornography. Say, Noah, it's my husband. That's porn. Let's call it what it is. Because if they show it in an American movie, your parents will send you inside. They will say, go inside and go and sleep. Now, Christians are the ones that bring it outside. If you are watching those scenes with your parents when you're younger, you close your eyes. You close your eyes. Now you are the one that is doing it on his porno PDA, public display of Ashao. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. We're going to read together. One to go. Say, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. They are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power. That desire to want to show, I want to show the world my wife, show the world my car, show the world my house, show the world my shoe. Show. Stop. We didn't marry your wife with you. I'm not saying you cannot celebrate people you love. That's what I'm saying. There are some intimate things that remain in your house. And you know what I'm saying? Don't go online and be friends kissing your this invite them. What's wrong with you? Isaac didn't plan to show Abimelech that him and Rebecca were lovers. Abimelech peeped and saw it. I came and said, this way you are playing is not the way brother and sister used to play. It simply means there are things that are for outside and there are things that are for inside. Satan sat on your head and you and devil made a contract and you now took your wife to club. If two of you did that, don't post it, sir. Sing in secret. Don't take the whole church with you. God's judgment. I'll be praying for you. God's judgment. Your car tire will burst. Your wife's heel will break. You will spoil DJ machine. Okay. By the time you sleep in cell for 2 weeks, you will cry out that thing. That thing to show. It's nothing bad. You take a picture, old man. You are holding hands. Very nice, very demure. I don't want to see this. You now snap it. Say, my baby, what's wrong with you? Wait, calm down. Are you thinking about the dignity of the person you are married to? Why objectify your wife online or your husband? Why? These things are not seen thoughts. Marriage is a private thing. It's not a secret, it's a private thing. There's a difference between private and secret. I don't need to know how you make love to your wife. Except for Tunji. I don't need to know. It's none of our business. Let me add this. Your marriage is not the standard. The word of God is. Are you hear what I'm saying? Don't use your marriage. I've been teaching us marriage seminar. Go to God's word. There's a standard there. Ah, thank God for my pastor. You will never hear him use his marriage. Never, not once. He uses God's word. All the time. But his marriage is not the standard. Do you realize that people divorce not because they are bad people? Do you realize? That need to show. You just want to post your room so we'll see it. Why? Tito and Joseph, are you content creators? Eh? You now put red light. Show it. What? What's that PDA you are doing? Red light. Eh? You're not like this. There was one time. There was someone I was training. People used to go on people's Instagram. They used to use their location to track them. So I put off my location. So if I post, you won't see it. Because some people post in real time. You are going to be big. There's something called scandal value. As you are now, your scandal value is low. That's if you have a scandal, you can't make so much money from it. There are people that will not benefit from exposing you. Yeah. The exposure is nonsense. Oh, talk. Nobody will talk. It's rubbish. But as you grow, scandal value increases. If they lie about you, it will make news. And they'll make money from it. Do you see those posts where they say somebody is dead? But the person say, like, you write it. Say, oh, Donald Trump is dead. You see likes and views. But it's a clickbait. Scandal value. They say, Pastor Goodness sleeps with scandal value. Not now. Eh? So don't give them things to use. Is this very mischievous tyrant in this church? Very mischievous boy. Years ago, I was just on my own. He dug out my Facebook pictures. Just they send them, give me. I was like, what is this? Is this boy? Is this one? Just went to haunt my old pictures. Now imagine a shouting of the nations. That someone wants to do throwback. This one Pascal picture I'm talking about. I was wearing my mother's hat. This is where you found it. Imagine someone that do that and now post my picture. And this. Hallelujah. Fight that desire to show. Is it wrong? That's the thing we're asking. You know, questions like this is not about right or wrong. It's about the consequence of it. The effect. Is it wrong to show your husband? It's not wrong. You are married. You are kissing your husband. Is it wrong? It's not wrong now. That's your husband. You have right to kiss. But let's look at the consequence. Rather than raising men from God, you are raising kissers. Let me ask a question. Who taught us to do, what do you call this thing? Proposal. Where we'll do that bloom red flower. Will you marry me? And put it, who taught us? Movies. Before the advent of social media, we had movies. You know, our parents didn't do those things. Let me add this. Who taught us to kneel down and propose? Culture. Which culture? You think your father and mother kneel down? It's introduction. I want to marry you. You say, let's go to your father. That's the ringo. You say, daddy, they will not come and say, I found a goat in your compound or a flower. Sometimes they didn't even inform the girl. You just say, bia, your husband is here. That's all. You just pack and go. That simply means people survived without doing that. As your throat is scratching you, it's long throat. You Pepsi bottle. Your throat is just scratching you. You want to just promise. So you don't need to say, I love you. Oh, you see me. You people are planning to. You will not come and be crying. Why are you crying? You knew. You planned it. You even left the house together. You knew. Because, you knew. I'm imagining it's like Pastor Esther. Esther will not come and be crying. And I say, Pastor, tell her you knew. Oh, God. Like, what do you expect will happen? He will not marry you. You knew now. This is why I need to go and do shoots for someone that did that thing. Half you don't have ideas. Hallelujah. No bull eating grass before you kiss somebody's child. Let's go chop the wedding ring. Is it wrong? No. Proposal is not a sin. But get Paul's perspective. There is going to be a consequence of something like that. Don't introduce a culture of showing everything, every part of your life. As you might say, private person. Once you do that, just tell him, and the proposal they want to just tell him we should get video, this, that. That is calling off. He's just know that he's ending the relationship. So rather than propose to you, you will get a breakup letter with the film and the camera and everything. Don't raise your children in front of the world. Don't do that. What you will bet, you will be afraid of it. I'm saying that the founders of Facebook, even this guy, Steve Jobs, before he didn't give his kids iPad. He didn't give his kids iPad. Mark's kids are not on Facebook. And they are the creators of the app. You know, I say, leave them, children, you know this tech world. Ha. See, you know, we're not doing, there's one parent with something, what do they call that again? Gentle parenting. Say, you know, we don't do that here. He's right. The child is putting me on the ground. They say, good job. Nice. Good job. Recently, a kid was convicted. I think a 12-year-old or so, 11-year-old. She took a gun, came to the house. The camera in the house caught her. It was at the back. It was premeditated. Took the gun at the back, came into the room, shot her mother on the head more than once. 11, 12 years old. How many of you thought of killing your parents and took gun? You thought of slapping your parents. Some of you say, oh, this person. How many of you did it? I'm saying your hand is shaking like this. Yeah. No, I'm saying that's our time. The kids now, I'm not saying the American kids, the Nigerian kids now, our time, we couldn't dream it. Now, I'm saying that you hear terrible stories. And not just that, she went for her stepfather, so she shot her mom and went for her stepfather, who now disarmed her. 11 years old. Know what 11 years old is? Be building a life of show. Show. You'll be more concerned about using your children for content than about raising them. Stand. You are the first example. How long does it take you to set up gear to shoot? It's not you, Ashby, it's you. How long does it take to set up camera gear? In fact, you were doing content before on your Instagram. Why did you stop?
I won't say I stopped. I paused.
You stopped. Okay, men all pause.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort.
Do you even edit it, Ali?
Now you're a mother of five. I'm not saying you don't have the side hustle you have. You're a mother of five, and then you're going to raise kids. You should make time for them. If you are doing content, do show. Let your kids be hidden. Anyway, do you realize you can make your kids easy targets by setting them up on social media like that? Why do you think a lot of influential people don't put their families online? Why do you think so? So that their families can be normal. One of Michael Jackson's regrets was that he didn't have a childhood. And that was what got him in trouble. Because they accused him of molesting young boys. Why? He just liked having kids around. That's what he said. He liked having kids around. What they said was that he molested them. Because he didn't have the chance to have a childhood. Don't rob your kids of the opportunity to develop as normal human beings. Because you want to use them for show. The kid is not even mature. You have opened accounts for them. A baby. You say managed by. Now the whole world is seeing your child. Your child is young, and is already a superstar. Something happened, we went for a program. I made the girl very uncomfortable. So I saw Pastor Zosa and I started, that's Pastor Zosa. I saw the discomfort. You know, when someone's trying to dodge and sneak away. You're going to be influential and powerful. Give your kids the opportunity to live a normal life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All people that like show, shiny things. Moana crab, that Moana crab. I'd rather be shiny. You would like shiny things. Give your children an opportunity to develop normally. See, you are born the person bends. You are smoking the thing. You are smoking the thing. 16, you are born them bends. What's wrong with you? What are you doing? You say, I suffered it. My children will not suffer. That's what I'm saying. Don't use that nonsense as validation for. I hear what I'm saying. Don't come and say, I suffer, my children will not suffer. Don't do that nonsense. Oh. Say, I know, my children. No. You will teach them values to share, to work, to plan, to earn. Don't do everything for them. You say, Junior just said he wanted the latest PS25. You bought it. How many of your parents had the money to buy you PS2 and they didn't buy it? Raise your hand. They didn't buy it. They had the money. Did you not turn out fine? You didn't turn out fine. Me, I turned out fine, no. This one day, I went to do tomato. If I this, let me even give you this boy own before I give you my own. This 2G boy. They bought them PS2. Then, PS2 was a big deal. 2G took the PS2 of their house and exchanged it for phone. The parents didn't know. So what happened was that the PS2 now had one fault. So the people that he sold the PS2 to now came back and told his mother that the phone, they should give him back their phone, that this thing. They beat this boy. How many of you played game when you were younger? You played so much so, that they would have separated. In fact, you were Siamese twins with the console. I played like that. How many of you are playing game? They can't take you up. Like they can't. You are like that. Those dogs that when you want to touch them when they are eating, they start growling. That's how you are with game. Go abroad and go and see how many adults are like that. And they get married though, and go and ask their wives what they complain about. The men don't have jobs. Well, thank God for social media. Now they can go on YouTube and earn some money playing and things like that. That's a real job. And then they go and learn marketing. They learn all those things. They learn graphic design, video editing. And that's good. But I'm saying there are some just they on TV. Your parents beat it out. Your mother in your brain broke it. Your whole life came crashing down. In that moment, your soul left you. I went to buy tomato. And I said, then playing game for one set was 29. So I said, we have had a good life, right? All these Gen Zs don't know what we're talking about. Coke was 15 naira. Donut was 10 naira. With 15 naira in school, we're a big boy. Okay, what do I mean by Gen Z? 2000 and all the people that are born 2005, 2004, 2001, all these things. You have, we changed your pampers. We did. You didn't use pampers. I used. Don't say we. Don't bring me into that. I told you, I was not born in the streets. I just lived near it. I use pampers and napkin. I use both. Napkin because my mother was just angry with me. Pampers because she was in the mood. So, you know, I didn't buy tomato. And then, I lost track of time. Don't let that happen to you. Don't lose track of time. I lost track of time. I thought it was just 20 minutes. It was about 3-4 hours. I left the house by 4:30 or so. My father sent a message. They did it for me. I was just there. And the the bad thing about the place was that the place they were playing the game was a dark room. So you will not know when the sun rise or set. That's very, very intentional marketing strategy. Very intentional marketing strategy. You know, I got home. I was looking for the lie, I will lie. How did I say that tomato was not in the market, so I trekked to a Greek and things like that. I couldn't lie because he bought the tomato and boiled it and cooked the stew. You know, I mean, it's my mom that went to the market and came back. So I just didn't lie. I just got to the gate and I said, I'm sorry. That's your best escape. I'm sorry, mommy, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. See, don't train your children for public eye. You take your young child, you are beating them on social media. You've not heard of people that have PhD, Pido? You've not heard of those people? Yeah? I was shocked. I saw my younger son on Facebook and she was chatting my male friends. No, she is innocent, but she was doing that. Now, you know the dangers in this world. Until they have the mental capacity to comprehend consequences, don't give them those things. How you know what I'm saying? Don't. I'll close with this story. A boy was warned of his father not to take the car out. The father warned him, don't take the car out. Don't drive. He's a young boy. Don't, and he's above 18. Don't drive the car. Don't drive the car. He didn't hear. I think either he went drinking or something, I don't know. Or went out with his friends. And then hit a bike man with a woman on it or a passenger on it. I think either the bike man died or the passenger died, or both of them died. You are going to prison. The father said, don't drive the car. He drove it and killed people. Let's not even talk about the physical impact of that. Let's talk about the emotional impact of that. How would that person be able to forgive himself? He killed two people. What do you think you'll do? You think he's self-clean? You are saving your kids a lot when you don't raise them in front of the world. You just want to show. Kill it now. Are you what I'm saying? Put your body under. Submission. That's what we do here. When we call you, we say put off your phone. Don't take pictures. I don't want to see pictures from the calibrate until maybe after the meeting. And you can have those pictures and not post it. You go back, you look at it and say, wow, this is a wonderful time we had. I have a picture of my pastor I've not posted. Right there in my phone. Somebody knew I took the picture because I appeared in somebody else's picture that the person posted on Facebook. It's not a sin. It's not a sin, but it's not expedient. All things are lawful, but it's not expedient. I hear what I'm saying. You can afford the ice cream, but you don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy it. You must learn two things. When to abound and when to what? Abuse. You must learn it. God wants you to live a good life, he does. But not at the expense of someone else's soul or someone else's faith. When it comes to that, you abuse. So these meetings are for training. Submit yourself to things like that. Learn to put your body under. Have you been blessed? Let's pray for ourselves. Pray for yourself. Lord, help me to put my body under. Come on, pray.